Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast.
Stan crosses center ice. Into the attack zone he comes. Makita splits the defense. Stan Makita scores! Oh, what an effort! Ho-ho! 5-0 Hawks. Here's Stan coming up across center ice. Makita goes around and splits the defense and scores! A hat trick! Stan is up ice, and Stan bursts his way past Vadney into the attack zone, and Stan Makita drives for the slot and shoots and scores! Stewart shortening up, losing it to Makita. Makita's got one man beat. He's got Arnie Brown beat. He scores!
We lost one of the all-time great Chicago athletes today and one of the classiest gentlemen you would ever deal with. Stan Makita passed away today at the age of 78. And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. I'm David Kaplan. Sad day for all of us around here. He was one of the good ones. Let's meet the panel for today's show. From VSIN, Vizen Sports in Vegas, he is Sam Panayotovich, formerly WGN. Pat Boyle, who headlines our Blackhawks coverage here. David Haw from the Chicago Tribune and the Score and the Mully and Haw Show. And Chris Cook. All right. Let's talk about Stan Makita, because this was one of the really good guys that we got to deal with, and what a player he was.
You started off by saying classy. He was that. He is still owns a ton of the Blackhawks records. He had a presence when he walked in a room. He was distinguished, you know. I had an opportunity to talk, and I didn't know about that. Mike Ditka stood up in his wedding, and so I spoke to the coach today, and you know, he talked about the early 60s when he got here, and he's running around with Stan Makita, going to watch him play, and this smaller stature guy on the ice who was able
five,
to absorb nine, hits,
yeah,
and dish it out and changed his game. He was an agitator at the start, would lead the league in penalty minutes many of the first few years. And the story goes that his daughter one day was watching a road game on television and said, you know what, why is daddy in the box and not on the ice so much? And Jill, his wife, approached him about it. And from that point forward, he changed. And so much so that he became the Lady Bing one year, which tells you, I mean, that's the sportsmanship award in the NHL. So he went full circle. And there's just so many stories, endless stories about just what he meant. I mean, he's on that Mount Rushmore, certainly, of great Chicago sports athletes. And
well, he's got the statue right next to Bobby Hull. And there's some people who probably would say, you know, I think the Bob Verdi said he's arguably the best player in Blackhawk history. That's a good argument, perhaps. But I think what makes him different is that, you know, in Chicago, you look at Ernie Banks. You look at Walter Payton. We just inducted Brian Urlacher into the Hall of Fame. Stan Makita, guys who spent their entire career here. When Bobby Hull went to Winnipeg for the money, Stan Makita had a chance to leave as well.
For the Chicago Cougars.
Absolutely. And he stayed. And he was loyal. And I think that maybe makes him special. He was always that guy, the loyal guy.
Yeah, for what he did on the ice was unprecedented. Imagine when he started playing and how the game evolved to when he finished playing. I mean, hockey changed quite a bit. But everyone you talk to, right, everyone likes Stan Makita. He impacted everyone's life in a positive way. And I can't say that about nearly anybody, right? I mean,
right.
This is a guy, you run into him in the hallway, and he just brightens your day. This is a guy you talk to, you know, somebody watched him play when he first started, and they talk glowingly about him on the ice, and they met him one time off the ice, how great a guy he is. And then when he's a Blackhawks ambassador, said, yeah, I ran into Stan Makita in the hallway. It was the greatest moment of my life. It's just across generations, he touched people's lives in a positive way.
You mentioned Bob Verdi, and I invite everybody to check out ChicagoBlackhawks.com. Bob Verdi wrote an amazing piece on Stan. Just a couple things that stood out from the piece is, you know, he was a legend, and he was an ambassador 50 years before the team made him an ambassador. And the other thing he said is the least pretentious superstar you would ever be around. And, I think he groomed certain guys that came along, like a Dennis Savard, who carried himself in the same type of manner.
Blackhawks chairman Rocky Wirtz released this statement this afternoon. There are no words to describe our sadness over Stan's passing. He meant so much to the Chicago Blackhawks, to the game of hockey, into all of Chicago. He left an imprint that will forever be etched in the hearts of fans, past, present, and future. Stan made everyone he touched a better person. My wife Marilyn and I, joined by the entire Wirtz family, extend our prayers and thoughts to Jill and the Makita family. Stosh will be deeply missed, but never, ever forgot.
I never saw him play live, but for me it's twofold. My uncle Cheech, my father, created this larger-than-life figure before I ever knew what the Blackhawks were, before I was able to comprehend what he was able to do. The stories of Makita and Hall going up the ice with the layers of smoke, right, in the old stadium. And then my first experience was as a reporter at GN when they call the interview session or the autograph session, like, you know, all right, 5 minutes left. Stan stays and signs for like 35 minutes, 45 minutes for all these kids. He was always willing to give you his time. He always had time for you, especially for the young hockey fans.
One of the coolest memories I have is my wife and I are at the game, and we got to go down in somebody's box, say hello, and Stan and Bobby are in there. Like, whoa, those are two of the – this is unbelievable. And the door opens, and a guy walks in and says, hey, is there a way I could get a picture with Stan and Bobby? And it was Michael Jordan. And there's a picture of the three of them together with Michael in a Hawks jersey. Unbelievable.
Three guys who have statues at the United Center. That's a pretty good company. And, you know, the last few years have been difficult for the family, difficult for hockey fans. You know, Chris had probably the definitive story on what Stan and his family had been through 3 years ago on the day that, I think it ran in the Chicago Tribune, the day that they won the Stanley Cup. And you saw firsthand how they handled that with grace, how they handled it with a lot of dignity, and just how much of a toll that took on his family.
Yeah, I can't say enough about the family and the strength that they showed, because it's a debilitating disease. It affects not just the person, but the entire family and his friends. And to sit in that sunroom with Jill Makita and Jane Makita, his daughter, and look in their eyes as they talked about their father and their husband, I'll never forget it. It's impacted me as a journalist personally, and I try to live my life as much as I can with that kind of strength. And even to this day, I still talk to Jane, and she shows the strength and the, you know, his grandkids are, we saw them on the last shift. It was fun, yeah, to watch them skate out there. Just an incredible family. And I think that's another kind of part of Stan Mikita's legacy, this family that he built, that cared for him so much and loved him so much that he was always in their thoughts, and everything they did was about Stan, and because they loved him so much, and the impact he had from Jill all the way down to the grandkids, really just a profound moment in my life, and something I've written a lot of words throughout the years, and none will match those.
All right, let's go to our phone line, and that's where we are able to have Eddie Olczyk join us now. And, oh, Ed, we've got a camera. Eddie, great to have you. Thank you for taking time for us. You knew Stan exceptionally well. What are your memories of him? Because you played for the organization, and you also grew up a Blackhawk fan here.
Yeah. Well, certainly a sad day, Capper, when we lose such an icon both on and off the ice. And just hearing you guys talk about Stan, you know, it made a huge impact for, you know, a Chicago guy like myself who was a diehard Blackhawk fan. And to get a chance to meet Stan Mikita for the first time, I think, right at the end of his career and at the old Chicago Stadium, you know, just was in awe, because he was that type of guy that I think a lot of us wanted to be like, right? Like, he could play any way you wanted. He could play a tough game. He could play a skilled game. He won all the individual trophies that you can imagine. And also, he won a Stanley Cup. So, I mean, he was just always a guy that had great respect. He always had time for you. And any time that I came in contact with him, whether it was at a golf tournament or when the Blackhawks did an amazing job of bringing back him as an ambassador along with Bobby Hall. And that was just a great move by Rocky Wirtz, John McDonough, and Jay Blunk. And to bring those guys back and to reconnect the past with the present helped turn this franchise around the last, 11, 12 years, whatever the amount of time has been. But, you know, he was just always a guy that was always cordial. You know, he'd always, you know, have a quick joke or, you know, always put a smile on your face. He always called me Edu. So in Polish, you know, Eddie is Edu. So he'd always call me Edu around the rink. And I always knew when I heard that it was Stan Mikita calling my name. So certainly a sad day, and condolences to the Makita family, all the Blackhawk fans around the world We're certainly going to miss Stan. We're certainly going to miss Stan.
Edzo, do you remember your first interaction with Stan Mikita?
Yeah, I do. It was in at the old Chicago Stadium PB, and it was in a restroom, believe it or not, a men's restroom at the old Chicago Stadium. And when I was walking out, here comes Stan Mikita. I'm like, wow, like this is just like amazing. You know, I'm crossing paths. I said, hi, Mr. Mikita. He said, hey, young fella. And kind of that was it. And then, of course, I told Stan that story a couple of times over the years. And, you know, it's probably not made for television what he told me. But, you know, it was just any time that you can cross a guy that you looked up to. And, you know, look, there's no doubt in my mind. I mean, we've had some incredible athletes play in this town, all sports. Think about Ernie Banks, and you think about Walter Payton, Gale Sayers, Dick Butkus, Bobby Hull. There's no doubt that Stan Mikita is certainly in that team photo. It was just amazing to watch him and see what he meant to this team and the city, as well as is that he made an impact off the ice as well. He did a lot of charity work, so instrumental with the Great Blackhawk Alumni Association, and he started a hearing-impaired hockey camp that has been running and is still going. I think it's probably been at least 40 years that he's been, you know, had his name attached to and was so instrumental with starting that camp. So he was a part of this community. He stayed here. His roots were here. And, you know, our community is much better off that Stan Mikita laid his hockey helmet here for many, many years.
Hey, Eddie, you know, we saw some of those highlights, which were kind of funny to see, you know, with the helmets and the different type of game, different era. We hear about Stan and the, sort of the curved stick. For people that did not see him play, who don't remember, you know, the way that he played, what distinguished him on the ice and made him such a special player?
Mm-hmm. Well, look, I think just remember watching him play, David, it was like if the game was rough, Stan would be right in the middle of it. If the game was a finesse game, Stan was right in the middle of it. Like he just, you know, his nose was over the puck all the time. And it didn't matter the type of game. Like he played in a tough era. And, you know, Stan wasn't a big guy, but he found a way to be one of the premier players. Look, when you're voted as one of the top 100 players ever to play in a National Hockey League, and then you take all the accolades as well with the individual trophies and the winning of the Stanley Cup, I believe, in 61. Really, enough said, right? But he could play any way you wanted. I mean, some of those highlights were like, you know, like just so smooth. Put the puck out here. The defender goes for it and then slide it between his legs, go in and take a quick little snapper and go top shelf. He was a player of... He could play in any era, David. There's no doubt in my mind. Again, just watching him. And I think, you know, when you hear the stories and you come in contact with a guy like Cliff Coral, who was a longtime teammate and one of the nicest guys you ever meet, and just talking about how Stan played and, you know, that era and that generation, there's no doubt in my mind a guy like that, with all greats, sometimes we throw that word around loosely, a guy like Stan Mikita could have played in the 50s, or he could have played in the 2010s or the 2020s because he was that skilled of a player and was so cerebral and so smart with that puck and made the players that he played with always made them better.
Eddie, it's Chris Cook. You're looking good, for one thing. You know, you've got a lot of respect around hockey and around sports, and everyone loves Eddie Olczyk. Have you ever run into a guy like Stan Mikita, just universally loved by everyone he came across?
Yeah. Chris, you know, it's a great point. I mean, really, like, he had the ability that is hard to find, or it's hard to come by, or maybe we all should, you know, try to emulate a guy like Stan Mikita, how he carried himself off the ice. And that, to me, is where he made the biggest impression. Again, I saw him, you know, I remember seeing him, you know, his last 6-7 years in the National Hockey League. But what I remember, Stan, I remember him being the, you know, the golf pro or assistant golf pro out of Kemper Lakes for so many years, and how great of a golfer he was and all the charity events that he would go to as a golfer. But, you know, he just had that ability. Like when he would walk into a room, and I heard PB talk about a little bit earlier, like, I mean, he had presence, but he was just one of the guys. And again, you know, I knew Stan not as well as a lot of his former teammates and a lot of the alumni, but anytime I came in contact with him, you just kind of felt like you were on the same playing field, and he didn't make you feel like you were in awe of sitting here talking to, you know, the first Blackhawk ever to have his jersey retired, or the leading scorer, or the leading assist getter in Blackhawk history. And when you really think about it, Chris, and you know this better than anybody being on the beat as long as you're, like, when you really think about it, I mean, this franchise and this team has had a lot of great players. You think about Stan Mikita, like, being on top of that list, like, that speaks volume as how good of a player he was, but even more so off the ice, to your point of that, you know, he made you feel good about yourself, and he looked you in the eye, and you're right. You know, you guys were talking about his the shake of the hand, you know, his hand grip there. I mean, when Stan got it, man, you better be prepared, because he was gonna make an impression for sure, and probably left a few fingerprints on some hands when he shook your hand. But he was a real special human being, and like I said, he made a huge impact in our community.
Ed, so last one before we let you go, and again, thank you for your time today. I was telling the guys a story that Michael Jordan walked into a skybox and said, I got to take a picture with Bobby Hull and Stan Mikita. Bobby left and went to the WHA. Stan was arguably the biggest name in the history of this franchise. Would you not agree?
Oh, well, it's hard to argue that, Cap, really. For all the years that he played, as I said, the accolades as an individual, winning the championship, you know, you'd be hard pressed to argue that he isn't, just because of what he did both on and off the ice in the franchise. And, you know, it's funny, you talk about Michael Jordan coming in there and saying he's got to get a picture with Bobby Hull and Stan Mikita. I remember the Blackhawks honored Dick Butkus one night, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I don't remember, but the great Pat Foley and I got a chance to interview Dick Butkus, and we talked to him off the air about it. And he just says, let me tell you, like, back in the 60s, the Blackhawks were the team. Like, they were the number one team in this town, and that's saying a lot. And I heard PB talking about how he talked to Mike Ditka as well about, you know, running with Stan and a lot of those Blackhawks back in the day. A lot of that had to do with Stan Mikita. So, Cap, long-winded, I can't argue that, because the numbers don't lie, and even more so the way that he carried himself, most importantly, as a human being. And like I said, our community, our Blackhawk family, is much better off with having Stan being a part of that for so many years, and we're not going to forget the impact that he had.
Edzo, thank you for the time. I'll see you in the morning. Have a great night, okay?
Okay, guys, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, there you go. It's our guy, Eddie Olczyk. Check out Stat of the Day, driven by the Chevy Silverado. There are just 9 players in NHL history who have won multiple Hart trophies as MVP, multiple Art Ross trophies as the league's top scorer. Stan Mikita is one of them. The others, Wayne Gretzky, Gordie Howe, Mario Lemieux, Bobby Orr, Sidney Crosby, Phil Esposito, Bobby Hull, and the flower Guy Lafleur. And only one player in history has won the Hart, the Art Ross, and the Lady Bing in the same season. That was Stan Mikita, and he turned that trick twice. You know, Pat told that story about Stan's daughter going, how come Uncle Bobby is on with the bench with all those guys and you're in the little box across the ice? That guy completely changed his image from that moment.
I think there's a quote attributed to him, said that in hockey there are rough players and there are dirty players. I was a rough player who was dirty. And I think but he got past that. He overcame that, but I think he also embraced that for a while during his career.
And an innovator, too. I mean, the curved stick, which we heard happened by accident when he got it stuck in the boards, right? And
yeah.
He also was the first one to wear a helmet after he was one of his teammates nearly took off his ear with a puck. And he actually, Jill's wife told him the story that he took a cup, protective cup, and put padding on it and taped it to a helmet and put it over the ear.
I'm glad that advanced.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. You know, and then she had said that Standard Time said, you know, why do we only put helmets on after we get hurt? I'm going to start wearing one now. And look at where we are now as far as concussions in the NHL and how far they've come with that, and still have a long way to go. But he's just an innovator, and talking about how great he was on the ice and off the ice, but the game of hockey is different because of him.
The article, I believe it on the Tribune website that I read today, I've read a bunch of stuff, talked about, I think you referenced, that he'd hurt a finger in the Stanley Cup Finals. Mm-hmm. There was no way he could play, and he got a private doctor who was a friend to sit by the bench and inject him with Novocaine, and every time he'd come off, if it hurt, he'd get it injected again in Game 7 of a Stanley Cup Final. 20 injections so he could find a way to play. This guy was a warrior. Is he the greatest Blackhawk player of all time?
I think the stats say yes. And, you know, he brought that cup here in 61. I think it had been 22 years or so since the Hawks had won it all. I do hold back and say, when it's all said and done, when Patrick Kane's career is over, we might be able to make a case that Kane is the greatest Blackhawk of all time.
I think you're right. I think it's difficult. Right now, probably true. But, you know, when you said Mount Rushmore, and everybody does that with teams, and I think you've got Kane and Taze and Hall and Makita. I mean, those four, it's very difficult. You could pick either one and make a case for either one.
I think just the fact he spent his entire career here.
That probably distinguishes him.
Right, and what he's done on and off the ice and what he did even after he was done playing as an ambassador, I think he's the greatest Blackhawk ever played the game.
Pat, thanks for being here.